We're going to speak a little bit this afternoon about integrity. I had the opportunity to teach a class that was, it was basically a cognitive intervention class. It was a requirement to pass this class before convicts are released from prison. They have to pass a class like this. It's supposed to give them tools that will help them adjust and live properly. I really like the class. I mean, it's the principles in there are basically biblical principles, you know. One of the things that really surprised me about this is I would ask the guys when they first come into the class, first day they start the class, to write down the meaning of integrity. And just write it down, fold it on a piece of paper. And as close as I can remember, out of 350 some odd individuals, there were two that got close. Two. And one of them, he said, well, he said, it's when you're by yourself, when you're in private, the way you act and the things you do is something that your mama would be proud of. In other words, he got pretty close to the meaning of it. But what I've found in the world is there is an ever-shrinking number of people that know what integrity is. It's vanished. It's vanishing from our society. Actually, when you sit down and explain to an individual that's been away from society for 10, 15, 20, 25 years, and you try to explain to them what integrity is, they think you're crazy. They think it's putting yourself at a disadvantage to be the same person all the time. Because to them, the value of being shifting, to be able to change your ethics and the way you do things depending on who you're dealing with, gives you an advantage. And I think that that's prevalent in the world today also. Proverbs chapter 2 and verse 6, "For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk upright." Those who walk upright. Now we're starting to talk about integrity here. The Hebrew definition is simplicity, soundness, completeness, upright, perfection. The Greek is incorruptibility, soundness, purity. Webster's gets this one pretty much right. Wholeness of person, undivided, the quality of being honest, and having strong moral principles, moral uprightness, the state of being whole. Now I want you to look at this. This is one of the modern additions. Dictionaries. I want you to notice how they've changed the meaning of this integrity. It says, integrity requires that a person only perform actions that square with his inner values. In other words, you can have integrity as long as you can be a bad person, but if you're bad all the time, then you have integrity. Sadly to say, that's a lie. Because only true integrity is based upon godly principles, and we're gonna study a little bit about that. This is a 2015 poll. This is one of the older ones. But, I believe on this poll there was a 35,000 people polled. They said that it was morally acceptable to have unmarried sex. 68% said that was morally acceptable. Another form of sexual immorality, homosexual was 63% said that that was okay. It was morally acceptable. Pornography and lustful things, 34% said it was acceptable. Abortion in all forms, 45% said that that was acceptable. The Pew Research poll, this is a little bit more recent. Drinking to drunkenness, 61% said that's morally acceptable. And then again, abortion, unmarried, sick. And here's a new one. To fake sickness to miss work, 78% of the people said that that was morally acceptable to do that. When you take all these things combined, there's less than 27% of these people that were polled answered the questions with integrity. So I think it's a reflection on society. It's just not people that are locked up. It's people in the world too. Matthew chapter 22 and verse 37. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. God has been speaking about integrity since the very beginning. It's in the Old Testament. It's in the New Testament. We were in Plainview last year, been a little over a year ago. Sean was giving a sermon there, and probably about 400 or 500 people. I don't know, there's a bunch of people there. And he said, if you have never sinned, or if you are without sin, just stand up. I want to know if you're without sin. About that time, Andrew Francis stood up with his little baby that was crying and walked out, and everybody was like, wow. And Sean said, well, I've never had that response before. But we're not talking about being without sin. We know that we fail sometimes. That's not what we're talking about when we're talking about integrity. We're talking about a walk that trusts in the Lord. And when we slip, we go to Him. We're faithful to confess those failures and ask for His help. Psalms chapter 41 and verse 11. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity and settest me before thy face ever. David was a big rider on integrity. Psalms chapter 26 and verse 1. A psalm of David, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and try my heart. David knew that the heart was a very tricky and deceitful thing. He was aware of that. And he prayed that the Lord would test him to prove his heart. To keep him straight, to keep him on the straight and narrow path. Psalms 26 and verse 8. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and in their right hand full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. When we're in private, better yet, when we're with associates and friends that don't belong to Christ, is our conduct godly? Is it like we are today? Now I know, you good people, this is probably the favorite day of your week. You look forward to Sunday. You look forward to coming here and singing songs of praise and going to the Lord in prayer, studying His Word. I know it's a highlight. It's a thing to look forward to. Do we take that with us through the week? Do we have integrity? We're given examples throughout the Old and New Testament. Abraham was tried and he performed with integrity. Job, we're familiar with the things he suffered, and he was true. David was a man after God's own heart, and he talked, like we say, he talks consistently about integrity throughout the Psalms. The Apostle Paul, you know, the Apostle Paul went through some very, very terrible things. And he was not without sin. He said he was the chief of sinners. But I'm going to tell you something. Paul went through beatings, 40 stripes, I believe, three times. And the reason they didn't give more than 40 was because that killed people often. He was shipwrecked. They tried to kill him over and over. He was a-hungered. He was a-thirst. I'm going to tell you, Paul went through a lot of things, but he performed with integrity. Our ultimate example is Jesus Christ. The ultimate example of integrity. He was perfect in life. He committed no sin. A lot of people think that Jesus Christ, because he was the Son of God, was not tempted as we are. He was tempted. In temptation, he resisted the devil. He was taken 40 days and 40 nights and fasting and tempted. But he failed not. And I used to think when I was a kid, well, he resisted that deal for 40 days and then it was over. No, it wasn't over. He was tempted as we are his whole life. And he overcame. He was perfect in that he fulfilled the law. And he was the perfect sacrifice, the spotted, unspotted lamb. Why are we to have integrity? Well, first of all, in Matthew 5, verse 8, we are commanded. 5:48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. We are to love life and see good days. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips, that they may speak no guile. You know, the most miserable people that I know on this earth are people that try to profess Christianity and then at the same time practice ungodliness. They're conflicted all the time. There's no peace because they know the truth, but they don't follow it. You see? The conflict there. So if we're to love life and to see good days, we will have integrity. Be upheld in Psalms 41:11-12. Withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth, All right. By this I know that thou favorest me, because mine enemy doth not triumph over me. And as for me, thou upholdest me in mine integrity, and settest me before thy face forever. And here's one thing. Can you imagine seeing God? I hear people say this all the time. I can't wait to see God because I really got something to tell him. I don't think that's going to be the way it works. But to see God, we're told in Matthew 5:8. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Integrity. That's what pureness of heart is. Titus 2:7. In all things show thyself a pattern of good works. and doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech, that thou cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. I would ask you that question. Do you have integrity? Because without integrity, it's going to be a rough road. There will be no peace. There will be no happiness. There will be a thing where I got a dear relative of mine that is a good man according to man's standard. He does good things for people. He helps people. But the other half of his life is filled with things that God commands us not to do. And he doesn't believe that you have to ask God for forgiveness. You know, there's that serving. I mean, he's conflicted. And you know what? He makes a lot of money. And he goes and buys things, big money things. I'll give you an example. He goes to art shows and spends $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 on these paintings. I mean, just get home, you know where they go? They go in a storage building. He don't even enjoy them. And there's such a lack of peace in his life that he's got to take a pill to get up in the morning. He's got to take a pill to get through the day. And he's got to take a pill to go to sleep. That ain't no way to be. That ain't no way to be. And God don't want us to be like that. He wants us to have integrity.